Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
It's a wonderful day today. This is our pre-Thanksgiving service today, and you're going to hear from God's miracles. There's a few people that's going to share their testimony and give thanks. The Bible says to give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds. So you're going to hear some of that. And it also says that you should do that in the midst of a great congregation. You should never be ashamed to give your testimony in front of people. He said, do it in front of the great congregation. It says to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving, which actually means to announce His greatness. To magnify is to announce His greatness, just how good He is. And the Bible also says that in the midst of your thanksgiving, you can experience the presence of God. So in the midst of this testimony and this thanksgiving, be ready to experience the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says that through the word of testimony, the accuser is overcome. Yeah. Amen. And one last thing, and we'll get the first speaker up here. One last thing, the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what does that mean? That means when you start testifying of Jesus and how good He is to you and what He's done for you, that it creates an environment for Him to do the same thing for you. That's the spirit of prophecy. So are you ready to experience the goodness of God, ready to magnify Him? Are you ready to experience the presence of God? Are you ready to experience healing in your own body when you hear from these people, these miracles that God has done in their lives? Are you ready? Yes. Amen. All right. Keith Lynn, he is first. Which one do I use, Randy? This one? Or the other one? The other one? Okay. Come on up, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Good morning. My name is Keith, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on in my life. I won't go into my addiction issues too much, but I've been battling addiction for a long time, and my addiction caught up to me about 8 months ago again. I reached out to Pat and Chelsea, and I needed help, and they were nice enough to open the doors and give me a bed, and I really needed it because I was facing homelessness, and when I went into to detox, my blood pressure was extremely high. I didn't know that, and I hadn't been on my blood pressure medication for a while because I had quit drinking, so that was God working in my life right there, because high blood pressure is not something you want to mess with. So I went through detox and came back and went into Out of the Ashes. I got a bed. I got love. I got fellowship. I got so much from Pat and Chelsea's program. It was such a blessing. God hijacked my testimony a little bit this morning. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But I'm going to share with you real quick where I'm at today. I've been in the program for about 8 months now. I've always believed in God. But through this church, through the healing room, through Pastor Terry, so many of you people, you know, that I've met, the Logans, Eric Moore, so many people I've met and just gotten so much from. And, today I actually am an employee of Out of the Ashes. And that's what God's done in 8 months. It's taken a lot of prayer. I work with the new guys coming in and I try to help them to the best of my ability. I ask God to speak through me. And I'll tell you, you know, since I've, and listen, I'm not perfect, but I've turned my will and my life over to the care of God. I ask God to work through me because, you know, I work with so many different people. But yesterday, I took a gentleman who's in our program to Shelby to meet with his daughter, who he had not seen in a year. And she was battling addiction. She's gotten clean now. He's clean now. And then last night, about 9 o'clock, I got a call from a gentleman who is very close to my heart. And he's married. He's got two beautiful children, but he's battling addiction. And he asked me to help him. And, you know, talk about God moving in your life. He was like, I need to get into detox. And, you know, so I was trying to help him out to get in detox. And where I went was in Kings Mountain. I said, call them up, see if we can get you in there. So I had to go to Shelby anyway this morning. God working in my life. So I picked this guy up, took him to detox. I was able to talk to him and tell him that we love him and we want him back. But he's got two beautiful children and a beautiful wife. And he's battling this. And I told him, I said, you need to get back to your family, you know. And he knows I know. And I told him I loved him, you know. And like I said, I'm not perfect, but every day I ask God to help me. And I was sharing yesterday or the day before that, you know, some mornings I'm so busy I don't get to pray. But I look up and I know God's will be done. I know that God's guiding me and helping me to help others. And that's what I have. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Keith. Next, when you hear testimonies, claim it for you. That's the spirit of prophet. Claim it for you. What he did for Keith, he can do for you. Samantha Morris.
So I'm Samantha. A little nervous. My life before was meaningless. I was disconnected from everyone, my family, my kids, even myself. I was in a bad relationship. My mom blocked me and I couldn't see my kids anymore. Because I chose to continue to do drugs and live the way I was. Until one day, I called up an old friend, Monet. And she took me to get something to eat, and then she took me to detox in Shelby. While I was, I can't see. While in there, I heard about Out of the Ashes. So I talked to Pat and got accepted into the program. At this time, I still wasn't able to see my kids, and my mom started talking to me a little bit. I was also facing a lot of different charges, from felony B&E, from felony larceny after B&E, from felony drug charge to a misdemeanor drug charge, and on top of that, trafficking drug charges. But I didn't run. I wanted different, and I was ready to change, so I stuck around in the program of Out of the Ashes, rededicated my life to Christ. Shortly after, I was indicted. That's Casey. I was indicted on the trafficking charges. So I turned myself in and did a few days in jail. My dad bonded me out, and only because I was doing good at the time. After that, I had court for the B&E charges and the felony. Thank you. Oh, sorry. I had court for the B&E charges and the felony drug charges as well. But by the grace of God, the felony B&E and larceny felony B&E was dropped, and I got probation for the felony drug charge. So I just continued to reach goals and find my identity in Christ. I got my license back. I have completed level 1 and level 2 of In Christ Image Training. I bought a car, and Susan and I are moving into our own place next month. And I've just picked up my 11 months clean and sober. I see my kids and family pretty regularly. Actually, my oldest son, Braxton, is here with me. I have a job with Out of the Ashes, being the second shift registrar coordinator at the Women's Mission. So I thank God for everything he has done for me, and I'm going to continue to be the willing vessel for the Lord to use for his glory. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here today.
Great. Thank you so much. Woo-hoo. Amen. You want some more? Yeah, we want some more. Well, this is Louis Burgos. Come on, Louis. You can do it, Louis.
Hey, my name's Louis. I don't talk much, but that's just the way I am. I was homeless, and now I'm a homeowner. I have a full-time job. I've been there for over a year. I've been sober and clean for 4 years, and I still help out of the ashes. Thank you.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, you're a man of few words. I wished exactly. This congregation wished I had that gift. Uh-huh. Now, you've been sober 4 years.
Yes.
And you've got a home. You,
yes.
You bought a home with, just not long ago, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Well, that is awesome. We're glad to have you.
Okay.
We really are.
All right.
You know what that was? I'm done, Pastor. I'm done. I'm done. Oh man, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes. I'm sorry.
Thank you. One thing that Louis doesn't mention is he has a heart of a servant, and he still helps out. He still volunteers. He still brings supper from the grace of God. And that's what the body of Christ is oneness. We all come together to help others.
Amen.
And we appreciate you, Lou, in your heart. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, he was done, he said, so. All right. Oh, you want some more? Yeah, here comes Susan McCall.
Hey, y'all, I'm Susan. I never wanted to grow up to become an addict. I'm sure no one does. In fact, I grew up accomplishing everything I set my mind to do. I graduated high school, college, became a police officer, got married, bought a house with a picket fence, 3 kids, and a dog. 23 years ago, actually today, my husband was killed in a car accident. This resulted in a long, deep depression. I continued to work until I was 33 when I was diagnosed with lupus and forced into retirement. At age 40, I thought I had never really lived or partied like my other friends, and I was always such a well-grounded, controlled person, so what could a little experimenting hurt? Let me say this, addiction does not discriminate. This experimenting started the darkest downward spiral in my life I'd ever witnessed. In a short yet very long 5 years, I lost everything, including my family. I went from being a productive, good member of society to a felon 7 times over. I had completely unknowingly switched sides from good to evil. A little over 7 months ago, I found myself broken, disconnected, and an addict, homeless, and now a frequent flyer of the criminal justice system I used to work for. On my knees in a dirty cell, I cried out to God for peace and saving. As much as I wanted my life to end, God had very different plans for me. After 30 days, I left jail with nothing but the clothes on my back. I walked right into the open door of the Out of the Ashes program and into the arms of Pat and Chelsea Chamberlain and a bunch of women I didn't know, but who just wanted to love me where I was. 218 days now, sober and clean. Later, God has blessed me beyond measure. I came into the program with a pending court case that was 100% positive to land me in prison for 39 months. Everything in me wanted to run for the border, but God wouldn't allow my feet to be moved. He had planted me exactly where he designed. I went to court that day, essentially taking myself to prison. Oh, but God. The judge extended my probation for a year, even after my PO begged for my 39 cents to be activated. The judge stated, who was he to hinder a success story? Me, the homeless, the drug addict, the felon, the victim of the street, yet God's child had been delivered from the darkness. Now with 7 months clean, I've been saved. I've reconnected with my sons and my parents, completed a 90-day intensive drug class, got my license back, bought a car, graduated the Out of the Ashes program, and in the process of buying a small vinyl pressing company through Pat, I've named Press On. And now taking orders for all y'all wanted that one of my shirts. Just hit me up. I will also be moving into my new place with Sam on December 3rd. With God's love shining through me, I'm eager to be a vessel to reach back to help others, making everything I went through worth it if I could just help one person from going down that same path. You see, I could tell you all the horror stories, the beatings, the rapes, the cold, hungry nights, the overdoses, but the only thing that matters now is my deliverance. God's grace and mercy reached even me. You see, recovery didn't open up the gates of heaven to let me in, but God opened the gates of hell to let me out.
My goodness, that's Gatling Gun Susan. She got it right. I mean, just not sharing her testimony, but she gets at it. I mean, she goes at it. Thank you so much. Are you ready for more?
Yeah.
Okay, Lonnie Bernard?
Right, that's
come on up. Was I close?
Good morning. Oh, it's brothers and sisters. How y'all doing? I was laughing with God. We were just talking a few minutes ago, and he was saying, no, Lonnie, lightning won't hit you up here. Because 61 years he's chased me, all right? 61 years. That's a long time to be chased. He finally called me, you know? I've been an alcoholic. I'm recovering, thanks to Pat. Also, I was addicted to myself and my environment and the flesh. That make sense? You know, you got to deal with all of them at the same time. How proud I am of people sitting down here. It inspires me to do better. I talk to my dad all the time, and it's him, not my real, you know. My dad, and you can ask them, I'm going around to church all the time. I talk to him about everything, you know. A long time ago, I was a self-centered person. I really didn't care about too many things. I thought money, houses, cars. I've been all over the United States thousands of times in my profession. Thought I had it all figured out. You know, I did. You know, I would just be careful what you wish for, but God can rattle that cage. You know, 61 years later, he's right on my cage. You know, he's telling me that, oh, you think you're up here. You put all this stuff in front of me, right? Okay, I'll show you something. And he has salvation.
Amen.
All right? I met Pat, and I lied to him. I'm not going to lie to anybody anymore, but I lied to him. I lied to people that I wasn't an alcoholic, but I was. All right, so I go to detox. He says, you can't stay here. You got to go somewhere else. Okay, where do I go? And he sends me to detox, okay? So I'm in detox planning my escape, okay? As soon as they open that door, I'm running. I'm getting ready to go, okay? I'm sitting in this block building on a bed that wasn't very comfortable, I'll tell you that much. And, and I'm sitting there going, okay, what am I going to do? Do I leave as soon as they open the door? Do I get over here? Do I do this? Because they have places for me to go. And God said, no, I got something for you to do. Now, that's kind of, it makes you go kind of crazy when somebody talks to you like that and you can't see them. I didn't know if it was the drugs they were giving me or it's just me, but it was God, you know? And so I'm standing there. And by the holy hand of Jesus, I had all these baggages and stuff on my back that I carried that made me be away from him for 61 years. Okay? I got up. I knew what I was supposed to do, where I was supposed to go, and who I'm supposed to help. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Let's do it. Because The ministry he put me in, I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. I had no idea where Forest City, North Carolina was. You know, I'm in a, you know, and I had to go back and actually beg Pat to give me a place to stay. You know, let's get something straight. I could have been anywhere in the United States or the world if I chose to be, okay? So God told me, no, go to Pat, because I got something to do. All right? I said, okay, Pat, you know, by the grace of God, he let me stay. He let me meet fine people. He opened my heart and my soul to listen to him. I have been saved, baptized, Holy Spirit, everything. All right, everything. I'm taking those weapons with me to help those and help you. Okay? I talk to God all the time. And O.A. Fish, I know you know who O.A. Fish is. I was a very confused person. I asked him about a couple of things. And I asked him, how do you pray? And I'm thinking about you got to get on your knees, angels got to come down, and all this good stuff, right? He said, no. He said, all that's in the flesh. He said, look at your father in front of you, run to his knee, jump on his knee, put your arm around and start talking. Amen. About everything. Amen. Not the miracles. I give me a miracle here and I'll do this for you. If you give me a miracle there, I'll do this for you. Right? It's everyday things. I was impressed the other day and we did it yesterday. I was with Pat and the lights went out in this house and he's walking around and he stopped and say, the Holy Spirit, my lights went out and I need your help. I'm going, what is he doing? Right? That's how simple it is. I don't care what it is, what you're doing, where you're at. If you have a question, ask him. And listen. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you. I don't care. If you get mad at him, tell him. He'll listen. Mm-hmm. You have a one-on-one relationship with the Father. Yeah. All right? Does your Father spank you? Yes. Does he listen to you? Yes. So please take the time to do more hearing and less talking. That's all I got.
God bless you. Great job. God bless you. Woo, wonderful, wonderful. Holly Von Briel. Come on up here, girl. That'll be fine.
I'm like Pastor Terry said, my name is Holly. I grew up here in Rutherford County, and I had a great childhood. I was adopted. Me and my two brothers were split up. By the time I was 6 months old, both my biological parents struggled with drug addiction. And so my parents did everything that they could to, you know, lead me the right way. They didn't drink. They didn't smoke. They didn't cuss. My parents really respected each other. And so I had a great example to live by. I had a promising future. I was really involved in sports. I did great in school, you know, made straight A's most of the time. But by the time I turned 18 in my senior year, I started to become really rebellious. A month later after turning 18, I moved out of the house. And I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do, so I was going to do my own thing. And I started a party, just, you know, binge drinking a lot, smoking weed, hanging out with the wrong crowd. I had my daughter, Madison, in 2007, and my son, Malachi, in 2009. And that's when I was introduced to prescription pain medication. And so, you know, what comes along with that is just being hateful. When I didn't have anything, you know, I was sick, I would steal from people. And so after that, I gave birth to my son, Mason, my third child. I used his whole pregnancy. I used prescription pain pills, smoked weed during the whole pregnancy, and I gave birth to him, and DSS got involved. My son's father actually at the time got custody of my children, and 9 days later after I had him, his dad fell asleep with him, and Mason passed away. And so, you know, not having a relationship with God at the time. I knew about God, but I didn't know about having a relationship with Him, and I wasn't actually a follower of Him. And so I turned to what I knew best, and that was sex and drugs, and my life just began to spiral out of control. I didn't want to face reality. I didn't want to face the choices that I made. And I started to numb the pain. And so, you know, the lifestyle that comes with that, going in and out of jail multiple times. I went to prison twice. Still didn't want to straighten up. And after my second time in prison, I straightened up for a little while. It was more that I just didn't do drugs than anything else because I still was worldly. And I got back together with my son's dad. And we started to use pain medication again. And, you know, just started to spiral again, the arguing, the fighting, you know, putting my children in situations they shouldn't see their parents in. And in January of 2016, I was introduced to meth. And so, you know, if you have any family members that have struggled with meth, or if you've struggled with meth, you know the lifestyle that comes with it. And my life took a nosedive out of control. It was just complete and utter darkness. I was so psychotic. I couldn't have a normal conversation with you. I would make everybody around me nervous. My daughter didn't want to be around me, really. I had lost contact with my son. I lost custody of him in 2011 after DSS got involved with after I had my son Mason. And so I was in and out of psych wards, you know, in and out of secular rehabs, and nothing had changed. And that's really because I wasn't willing to surrender. And I was homeless. I was desperate. I was alone. I was starving. I got down to like 100 pounds soaking wet, became an IV user, and just didn't want to live anymore. And at this time of desperation, I heard about Crossville Mission Bible Training Center. It's an alternative to rehab in Crossville, Tennessee. There's actually like 20 of them throughout the United States. And I was like, well, I'm gonna go here because I had nowhere else to go. And as soon as I drove up on the property, I knew that there was something different about this place, and that was the Spirit of God just rested on this property. And I went through this program. It was an 8 to 10 month program, and I completed that. I knew God had called me to stay on for staff, so I stayed on for staff. Really, it's an unpaid position, but you work more like a missionary. If you feel like you can't, if you're not ready to go back into the world, you have the opportunity to stay. And it's free. You don't have to pay anything to go there. You don't have to have insurance or anything. It's completely free. And so there, I started to receive healing from these wounds of childhood, you know, the abandonment from not knowing my biological parents, being angry because they lost me because of addiction. My mind was renewed. You know, I never thought that I would be able to speak to y'all or have a conversation with my parents anymore. I just thought my mind was always going to be in the state of mind that it was in. And God worked on me with the healing that I needed, shame, resentment, rejection, everything that I struggled with. And I learned how to say no. That was one thing that I struggled with, telling people no. I learned how to hold myself accountable on things that I would do wrong, make bad choices or whatever. I would hold myself accountable. And I learned how to stand on the Word of God. God called me to stay for the overseer position. And so I stayed for that. I did that for 7 months. So I spent 2.5 years in this program that was an 8 to 10 month program. And through the overseer position, I learned how to love other people, and I learned how to put people first and learned how to serve. And in March of 2020, I felt like God was calling me to come home. You know, I had children that I needed to pursue the custody of. God gave me my children for a reason. And so I came home. My parents actually let me move back into the house. I used to steal from them. You know, they had to lock their bedroom door. And, you know, I was still trying to find ways to get in there. And but they let me move back home. I started to develop a relationship with my daughter again. She didn't trust me. She didn't really, like, know me, you know. She only knew me as an addict. And so with Malachi, I lost custody of him in 2011. And in January of this year, I got full custody of him back. And then on top of that, in July, I got custody of my daughter back. So when I moved home, I got a job at a rest home, and I have wonderful bosses. I couldn't ask for a better boss. I see that's where God's placed me, because I can talk about Jesus there. My bosses are Christians, so I can talk about Jesus with my bosses and with the residents when the residents want to talk about Jesus. And so I can definitely see God's hand in that. Just like, you know, some of the other praise reports, I got a car. I have a checking account, a savings account. And there's actually a picture I was wanting to share with y'all, if we can pull it up. This is me before Christ. And this is me after my death to myself. And as you can see, it's a total change. You know, Matthew 6:22-23, it talks about our eyes, and they're the lamp of our body. And if your eyes are dark, your body's full of darkness. And if your eyes are light, then your body is full of light. But if your eyes are dark, how great is that darkness? And that's just paraphrasing. But I'm so thankful for what God's done for me, and I'm thankful for this church and for my parents. Never give it up on me. So if you have anybody that's struggling with addiction, you know, don't give up on them, because there is hope. You know, you can reach out to Out of the Ashes. If you want to ask me about the program that I went through, I'd really be happy to talk to you about it. But today, I can tell you, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. Wow. Well, I'm going to literally give you one more. Welcome, Eric Moore.
Praise God. Well, I know my time is limited to 10 minutes. Pastor Terry made sure to tell me that, because I can be a little long-winded sometimes. So, praise God. Man, I'm just so thankful to hear all the testimonies of everybody. Like, you know, you sit around these people every week, and you never know what somebody's been through, but it's just amazing, and it's such an encouragement to know what God has done in other people's lives. And He's no respecter of persons. What He's done in my life, He can do in your life. What He's done in these other people's lives, He'll do in your lives also. And I just wanted to start with a scripture that the Lord was just giving me this morning. I didn't take a lot of time to prepare like I know some other people did, who did a great job sharing their testimony. But the Lord gave me a verse this morning. And it's in Matthew 25. It's talking about the parable of he gave the talents to the guys and told them to be faithful with it. And, you know, the several of the guys took the talents that were given to them, and they multiplied those talents. They got more talents. And one guy went and hid the talent that the Lord gave him. But I wanted to focus on two verses here. 25:21, it says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" And then in verse 29, it says, "For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance." And I just wanted to bring that out before I started to share my testimony, to just kind of keep that in your mind, you know. When you're faithful with what God gives you, if you're just thankful for what He gives you and you appreciate it, you glorify Him for it, He's going to give you more. It's in His Word, and it's happened in my life. I've seen it. So it's a promise that you can hold on to. Like a lot of the people who shared their testimony, I used to use drugs. I started at an early age, 12 years old. I was in and out of juvie from the time I was 13 until I was 25. I was in and out of jail, prison. There wasn't one year that went by where I was out for a whole year consecutively. So eventually, I ended up going to prison. I had a lot of drug charges. I had assault charges. I had all kind of charges, 7 felonies. I had, like I said, I've been in and out of there a bunch of times. I didn't believe in God. My friends would talk about God sometimes when I was younger, and I'd get in on the conversation, but it was just for show. I didn't really believe that he was real. And they come around, they asked if I wanted to go to church. And I had been losing my mind. I was coming off of so many drugs. I was like, I'll do anything. I just want to get out of this cell, you know. And so I went just to get out of my cell. And while I was in there, there was a guy giving his testimony. And he was talking about how he used to use drugs. And that caught my attention, you know. And then he talked about how he didn't used to like cops. And I'm like, man, I don't like cops either. You know what I'm saying? Then he's like, and I've been to prison. I'm like, man, I've been to prison too, you know. So his testimony, it's like getting to me, and I'm in there with a bunch of guys. So I used to sell drugs. I kicked in people's doors. You know, I would take people's cars and all kind of stuff. I mean, I was out there, and I'm in there with a bunch of guys who are used to seeing me with a pistol in my pants. I used to have my shirt tucked in behind the pistol so you could see it everywhere I went. My hat cocked backwards to the side. I was a rapper, you know what I'm saying? I thought I was a little thug, but anyways, it is what it is. It's amazing how much God can change you. It really is.
And you like cops today too, right? You like cops now, right?
I do. I do. Okay. Yes. Praise God for the police. Yes.
If there's any watching, yes. We want to make sure.
Amen. Yes. Thank you for your service. Praise God. But thank you for clearing that up, Pastor Terry. But, yeah, so I just lived a really thuggish lifestyle. And while I was in there and this guy was giving his testimony, it was the Spirit of the Lord was on me. It was about to make me cry. And my flesh was telling me, don't let these guys see that this is getting to you. You know, they're used to seeing me running around the streets, being all hard and stuff like that. I didn't ever cry. I didn't ever show any weakness, anything like that. Don't let these guys see that this is getting to you. But at the end, the guy said, does anybody want prayer? And I didn't even think about it. Boom, I was up there. And he said, what do you want to pray about? And I said, I want to pray about forgiveness. And what I meant in my mind, I still wasn't focused on God yet. What I meant was my mom, my girlfriend at the time, my grandma, everybody who I had done wrong in my life, I just wanted forgiveness from them. So he prayed for me. After the prayer, he had me repeat the sinner's prayer, which is basically that I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that he rose from the grave and that I can have life eternal with him because of that. And when I said that prayer, I just tried to believe. I said, you know what? I know I'm going to prison. I'm not going to have anybody write me or send me money. You know, I'm not going to get no visits. I got nothing to lose. So I'm just going to try to believe that this is for real and just see what happens. And so I did. I went back to my cell. And when I got to my cell, actually, I'm going to try to describe this to y'all, but they have these little windows in there, and you can never actually see light coming through them. You can just tell if it's dark or if it's light outside. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I see my brother over here shaking his head. He's like, yep, I know what you're talking about. So praise God. But the light was actually shining through it. I could see the light. Like, it's like the first time I'd ever seen light. And it was so bright I could see the dust particles in it. And I felt God speaking to my heart. And he said, get down on your knees and pray to me. And so I got down on my knees and I prayed. And for the first time ever praying, believing that I was talking to somebody, I just said, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. And as soon as I said that, I felt the weight of the shame, the guilt, the depression, the drug addiction, everything that had me bound was immediately, boom, lifted off of me. I was born again right there in a dirty jail cell. And so God will go anywhere to reach you. When it says that he leaves the 99 to go find the one, he'll go anywhere for you. He will go anywhere.
Amen.
And I thank God that he will. My life was radically changed from that time on. He gave me a hunger and a desire for his word. I started studying the word of God in the county jail there and just went on. And God gave me a joy. And that's why I wanted to bring out this verse right here, because it says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, he gave me that joy. I went on to prison, and I remember, I always like to tell this story. While I was in there, we were walking to the chow hall, and it's pouring rain. We're outside, and this guy looks at me, and he's mad, you know, and I'm just smiling. And he's like, man, what are you so happy about? We're in prison. And I said, yeah, man, but I know Jesus Christ. I'm more free than I ever been. And I thank God for that freedom still. After I got out of prison, I had to go through homelessness. So I lived in a homeless shelter for a little while. I was able to borrow a bicycle from my uncle and found a job. I started riding that bicycle to work in the winter and everything. And then after that, my family helped me get a scooter after they seen I was doing good for a little while. I got a scooter. I had to ride that scooter in the rain. I actually rode it in the snow home from work. 5-6 o'clock in the morning all the time, raining on me, and I'm just going down the street, and I'd have my headphones in, and I'm playing Jesus music, and I'm just praising God the whole way. And it just makes me think about Hebrews 12. I'm going to go ahead and go there real quick. But it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, there's that word again, same one, set before him, endured the cross. So he had a joy set before him. That joy was to see me and you come to salvation. He wanted to see all of us come to salvation. And more than that, he wanted to see us become the weos, the grown adults, the mature ones in Jesus Christ, bearing fruit, bringing other people into his kingdom. That was the joy that set before him. So when he was on the cross, every time that hammer was hitting that nail going into his hand, pink, he was thinking about me. Pink, he was thinking about Pastor Terry. Pink, he was thinking about Stacy. Pink, he was thinking about every single one of us in here. When that nail was going into his hand and them nails was going into his feet, he was thinking about me and you, and that caused him to be able to endure the cross. So that same joy that he had, we now have that joy. You see, and he said, if you have a little bit of it, he's going to give you a little bit more of it. You be faithful with the little bit that he gives you, he's going to give you more of it. So I rode that scooter in the rain. I rode that bicycle. I went through homelessness. And I finally got an apartment. I didn't have anything in it but a couch. Started off with that. I didn't have no heat, no air, no refrigerator, no stove, no appliances whatsoever. Just staying faithful in that and still praising God and believing him for better things, because greater things are yet to come, huh, Charlie? Hey. So just staying faithful. I ended up getting married to my wife. I prayed and fasted for a long time. I was lonely. I just wanted to help make God send me somebody. He sent me Allie, and I couldn't be more grateful for her. He ended up giving me better jobs, but not only that, he gave me a company where I've been very successful. You know, you be faithful with a little, he'll make you a ruler over many things. So he's gave me this business. It's been a great blessing, being able to help other people also through that. And me and Allie tried to have kids for a while. We didn't think we was going to be able to. We had bad reports from the doctors. They didn't think we was going to be able to. So for three and a half years, we tried to have kids. And now my wife is pregnant, and she's about to pop. So... So when I tell you God is able, he's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can think or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot. And he's able to do far more than that. Far more than that. So I went from homelessness to not a home buyer, but I'm now a home owner. I own a home. That's only by the grace of God. All those things is not to brag on me. It's to brag on God, because it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's all for his glory, what he is able to do. What he's done in my life, he's able to do for you. So I encourage you, if you don't know him, make today the day that you come to know him. If you hadn't ever met him, come on up here and let's introduce you to him, because the Spirit of God is in this place and the Spirit of prophecy is in this place. And if he's done it for all these people, he can do it for you. And if you know Jesus but you haven't been on fire like you should be, then come on up here and let's get you on fire again, because God's got a plan for all of us.
Amen. 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 Okay. Is anybody in here want to get saved? You don't know Jesus, but you want to know him. You don't know him like these people know him, but you want to know him. Is there anybody here that says, I want to give my heart to Jesus today? Is anybody here? So everybody is born again, right? How many of you want to be more passionate for God? Stand to your feet. I want to be more passionate for God. I want to be more passionate for God. Isn't he good? I'm sure every one of you have a testimony. Every one of you that went from dark to light have a testimony. Share it. Open up. Share it. It doesn't have to be long. Matter of fact, at the beginning I tell people, you know, and I learned this from the good doctor that came through, Dr. Poe. He said, condense your testimony to 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Because most of the time, people don't want to hear anymore. But those that do will ask. Then you get more time. So learn how to say how God has changed you in 3 minutes' time at a filling station, grocery store, wherever it is, just a couple of minutes. If they follow you around with that buggy, you're going to have some more time. If they come on your side of the gas pump, you've got some more time. Amen. I want to pray, but I'd like for everyone to remain after we pray. We want to pray and say thank you for all of the online streamers. But we have some more things I want to talk to you about, but let's pray together. Father, thank you for the testimony of Jesus, changing lives, touching lives, delivering lives, saving lives, turning us around, Lord, and putting us on solid ground. Lord, when you reach down to get me, you reach deep. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for these, that all of these that know you. We celebrate life and life abundantly. Lord, use us. Use us. Make us fit for your use. That no matter where we go, we can open up and talk about you and tell of the greatness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.